Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. Now, this is Richard Melson, gospel preacher at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is the rite of ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is July 19, 2026. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks of Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available for your download. Also, if you've never subscribed to our YouTube channel, please take an opportunity to do so. You only need to subscribe one time, and we will continue to then be able to reach out to you via the digital medium. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road, Bible study at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 a.m., and then we assemble again at 5 p.m. We meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and we are in the midst of our summer series. And we would love for you to come and visit with us and study the Word of God. More to say about the summer series in a few moments. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ, AM 1110, or FM 104.3. You may also listen to us by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the Scriptures, the Bible, God's Word, is the way that we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the Scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, and Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, not to add to or to take away, not to tamper with the Word of God. God's Word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? I said that I would give you an update on our summer series. We are studying from the book of Hebrews under the theme, Be Encouraged. And we are more than halfway through the book of Hebrews. You know, it has 13 chapters. And so this week on Wednesday, we will be in chapter number 8. The guest instructor will be Mark Phillips of Cincinnati, Ohio. Mark has been with us before, and we'll be looking forward to Mark leading us in the discussion of Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And you can access the previous lessons on our website. If you go there, you'll see the summer series tab, and you can download whether there were PowerPoints or things related to that summer series. You can find those things there. All right. Well, we're glad that you are with us again on this Sunday, this Lord's Day. A number of things over the last 2 weeks have been going on in our community. We've had some disturbing events, but it's not like it's new. There are times when these things, because we are people of the moment, we live in this time, we live in the now, and these things trouble us. The shootings that are occurring openly in neighborhoods and on the streets, the things that are happening to children, it seems, on a day-to-day basis. It has been stated with regards to, by many, that our community, and yea, even our nation, is facing a moral collapse. Dayton, are you listening? Many individuals throughout the most recent history, and I say most recent in the context of America's just is in its now its 250th year, and so in within our history as a nation, talked about the value of moral societies. It was a journalist who wrote some time ago, quote, Georgia Ann Geyer. Alan Webster quotes her as saying, quote, moral societies are the only ones that work. If anyone thinks that there is not a direct and invaluable relationship between personal integrity in a society and that society's prosperity, that person has simply not studied history, close quote. And that person is right. You know, morality is at the core of our stability. Think about what happened to the children of Israel. The Bible says in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25 that when those individuals of that generation turned their back on God, when each person did what they thought was right in their own eyes, that's a problem. Without proper faith in God, citizens do what is right in their own eyes. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. But you know, we are at this state in our land of a moral decline, it seems, at a moral collapse. And if you, it doesn't matter which news program you watch, they just tends to point out the ills of society, and they just, it's a constant reminder of the challenges that we face. People would say that at one time it was likely easier to go to heaven from America than any place on earth. This may not be the case any longer, but one can still get to the home of the soul from the home of the brave. America is not the first national moral collapse in human history. And so, as Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 4, that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. We're going to look at some things and from the Old Testament, and I hope by looking at one example of a time where there was a national collapse of morality, how that God's people survived during the times where there was a moral decay. So let's go back to the Old Testament, and we're not going to be able to look at all of this in an in-depth way, but the goal here is by looking at one man. We've been looking at character. We've been characters. We've been looking at things that they've done, and I hope that I can provide some principles and some application that we can make in our life. And so during Noah's day, Noah found that he was able to be able to overcome the moral collapse of his time. Now, here's an important principle. God is the only hope anyone has in any generation. God is the only one, and he is the only one who has the way to salvation. He is the one who will reveal it. For instance, let's observe several things. Now, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 12, the Bible lets us know that God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. There was a moral collapse during the time of Noah. God was the one who would provide the means for Noah and his family to survive in this moral collapse. And this principle is still true even today. God is still providing the means for our success in spite of the moral decay and moral collapse that we see going on around us. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate," Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. For Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." God has revealed to us what is necessary for us to deal with the moral decay, the moral collapse that we are faced with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It is God who has sent his representatives to tell all that we need in the personages of the apostles and holy prophets, Mark 16 and verse 15. So we go back to Genesis, and between Genesis and Hebrews, we'll observe. It says that Noah was moved by fear. And it's not dread, but he heard God's word and he believed. He was moved by fear, Hebrews 11 and verse 7, to build an ark. Meaning, and I would suggest to you, that represents the fact that he obeyed that which God had instructed him to do. If he had faith, faith is evidenced by that which you do. Genesis 6, verse 14, God instructed Moses, he said, instructed Noah, rather, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And then in verse number 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Noah was moved by fear, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. He trusted God. This is his faith. And then not only did he build that, but he loved God and he loved his neighbors. He loved those who were also morally corrupt. He invited them to take part into what God was going to do. He wanted them. He went and he preached, of course, to them. And he invited others to join him, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Noah wasn't selfish in this regard. Sometimes we fail to consider this, but again, listen to what God's word says. And did not spare the ancient world, I'm in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a proclaimer of righteousness. He declared to those, here's what God is going to do. And so, you know, self-preservation is a most powerful incentive. The desire to preserve self is a motivator to do what is right. Peter, what inspired, preached in Acts chapter 2, he said to those Jews who had not believed, to save yourself from this perverse generation. Fear of eternal torment, fear of hell, is sobering. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. Love for God is the ultimate, though, motivation. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Mark 12 and verse 30. Noah experienced all these in the long ago. Dayton, are you listening? When we go back and we look at Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, Genesis 6 through 9, it is not so much the story of the flood, but the story of one of history's greatest men. You know, the prophet Ezekiel speaks to this in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse number 14. Just in passing, Ezekiel makes this interesting observation with regards to this, and he says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would only deliver themselves by their righteousness. So God had identified Noah as a great man of history. How would Noah's resume read in 2026? His name means rest. He lived 950 years, born in 2948 BC, died 1998 BC, according to Usher's chronology. Father was Lamech. His grandfather, Methuselah, longest living human, according to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 25 and verse 29. His great-grandfather, Enoch, one of two people to never die, along with Elisha, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 11. Noah lived on a boat for a year with animals, only survivor with his family of the earth's first cataclysmic event, preserved human and mammal life on the planet. In Noah's time, Society was corrupt, as we've already read, from bottom to top. According to Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 4, people were violent. James alludes to this in James 5 and verse 4. Crime was commonplace. Men lived by pride and passion and for pleasure, corrupting themselves and defiling themselves with each other. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12, God looked upon the earth and indeed it was corrupt. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. They didn't respect marriage. They didn't have any respect for property rights. They despised God's law. They disrespected God's name. They expelled God from their thoughts. How do I know this? Genesis 6, verse 5 says, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." God put the world on probation. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever. He is indeed flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. And when he could bear their wickedness no longer, he swept them away by the flood." How did Noah successfully get his family through this unsurpassed moral collapse? Dayton, are you listening? How did Noah do this? God got Noah through it. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. "Noah feared, obeyed, and worshiped God." You study carefully Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, and chapter 7, verse 5, and Genesis chapter 7, verse 9, and verse 16. And of course, Genesis 6, verse 8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You know what? Here's a question. What kind of man finds grace? I will suggest to you, and this will probably be where we're going to have to end this for today, but let's get through this. What kind of man finds grace? Well, number one, Noah was a just man. He lived and preached God's justice. The Bible says this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. "You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and female, each of the two that are unclean." He did that which God had commanded him to do. Second, the scriptures let us know that Noah was perfect. Genesis 6, verse 9. Now, this does not mean that he was sinless. It means that he had pure motives. It is possible to do right, but not with a perfect heart. 2 Chronicles 25, 1 and 2. Noah was doing that which at the time that of information he had, he was doing that which was right in the sight of God. Oh, and then the text lets us know that Noah walked with God. You know, when you look at what the Bible says about those individuals who walked with God, it's a select group of people. And all that we would want to be that group. In Psalm 84 and verse number 11, the psalmist says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory for good. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Dayton, are you listening? While the whole world pushed him downstream, he paddled upstream. Likewise, we must not march to the beat of the world's drummer. The Bible lets us know that those who are in Christ, Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Godliness is uniform, the same in all times, places, and companies. A righteous man is not as a sheep in a meadow or a muddy field, clean only in a clean place. That righteous man opposes sin even in the midst of temptation to sin. Noah taught his family about God. Noah and his wife brought Shem, Ham, and Japheth into and through that cursed world. Just look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse 9 and verse 32. So he had to live in that environment. It's that environment that we read about in Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 7. So the scriptures would tell us that it's our responsibility to lead our families in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 22, verse 6, and Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Noah, in the days of Noah, trust God, fear God, obey God. Friends, since Jesus used Noah as an example of how to prepare for the second coming, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, these same actions will get Christians through the moral collapse in any generation. What are they? Trust God, fear God, obey God. Dayton, I hope you have been listening.